Welcome to the Super Podcast. I don't know what episode I'm up to because I'm stupid.
Okay.
My name isn't actually stupid. It's Super Marcy, and I have no idea what I'm going on about. But this is a podcast, and my guest is Nick, who goes by about 1,000 names. Howdy, hi. Nick.
What's up, Marce?
I have no idea. I'm a little bit too out of it.
Why is that?
I have no idea. Lack of sleep, not feeling well, etc.
There could be 1,000 reasons. Everybody's got them.
Indeed. So, yeah, I don't really need to introduce you properly because everyone knows who you are by now. And if not, well, bad luck.
Yeah, if they do know me, it's not a good thing, but yeah.
Well, bad luck for those people.
And I've definitely enjoyed enough times on the show at this point to definitely don't need any long introductions anymore.
Yeah, it's just Nick, the man with 1,000 names.
Yeah, pretty much. The guy who has a major identity crisis. So.
Indeed. And, well, because we're actually going to do another podcast next week and there wasn't one this week, we thought we'd just throw one together. And we decided we're going to talk about an action superstar who's got a big movie coming out next month. And that man is Sylvester Stallone. And he's actually here with us, and he's going to say hello.
Hello!
Yep, there he is.
And I'm Rocky Balboa.
He's having an identity crisis.
Yeah, something like that.
See, even he knows he's having an identity crisis. So, yeah, we're going to discuss Stallone and go over his career, much like what I did with his good friend Arnold.
Arnold!
And Arnold also chimed in for that show.
Yes.
See? And he's also here as well, just to chime in every so often. So, anyway, we'll start off at the very beginning of Sylvester Stallone's acting career. And the very first movie he was ever in was called The Party at Kitty and Studs, a.k.a. The Italian Stallion. And it's actually a porn film. And guess what? I've seen it.
Any good?
No, it's not at all. Yeah.
I guess that 2.3 out of 10 really says that, it gives that answer.
Well, the movie doesn't actually make sense, and I know that Sylvester will agree.
Yeah.
See? And Arnold, do you agree as well?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. I think Sylvester just did it to get his foot in the door. I was going to say something else, but I thought maybe not.
No.
See? Yeah. He doesn't.
Yeah, I won't be dirty. I don't recommend watching this movie unless you're extremely drunk. Even the sex scenes in it are just not that great. It's just retarded.
It's 1970. This is like when we're...
Well, it's like major bush and everything. And there's like naked circle dancing. And I think that Mr. Stallone is probably embarrassed. About it?
Probably.
Yeah, see, he agrees. But, don't make fun of him while he's on the show. No problemo. So that was his first movie. Not recommended.
I think my mom still got the Playboy issue or Playgirl issue that he did, and it's like still in freaking plastic or something like that.
Oh dear. Like
way back in the day.
I would like to see that for my own personal reasons.
I would very much not like to see that for my own personal reasons. So.
Why?
The man asked you a question. Answer him.
Nobody wants to see me.
Don't be mean. He's been nice enough to agree to appear on a show, and you just make fun of him. That's rude. Very rude. Very rude.
Arnold doesn't agree either.
Arnold, shut up.
No.
Shut up.
No.
Shut up.
No.
Arnold.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Arnold's being nasty tonight.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to kick him off. What do you think, Sylvester?
Yeah, something like that.
Well, there you go. Alright. Shut up.
You lack discipline.
I'm not lacking any discipline.
Where's this all going?
I don't know. Well, we need to bring up his other movies now.
Lots up.
I think I might skip through a few because I don't think...
Yeah, some of these I'm like, the Lords of Flatbush? Okay.
What would the Lords of Flatbush be about?
That's got to be another...
I'm thinking it must be a porno and they flatten the bush.
He's got... That's his job, to flatten the bush?
I think he flattens the bush. Would that be...
He's like an hairstylist?
Would that be accurate?
Yes.
Okay, well, there you go. That's what that movie's about. I think the next one that's noteworthy would probably be Death Race 2000.
Classic.
Which had Sylvester with David Carradine.
The Blu-ray's on its way if it hasn't been released already.
I'm probably pronouncing his name wrong, but...
Who, Carradine?
Yeah, Carradine.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay. I don't even remember if I've seen this movie. I think I've seen it, but I don't really remember.
It's definitely one of those movies where you're only going to really remember it just for the sheer violence.
I remember the posters because they were pretty cool. And according to IMDb, Martin Cove was in it.
Yeah, I can't actually recall that.
Martin Cove. If people don't actually know who I'm talking about, it's the baddie from The Karate Kid, Mr. Sensei Kreese.
Yeah.
The badass. Yes, that's interesting. I did not know that.
But, Death Race is a great movie. And, yeah, the remake did it justice in a small way, but definitely a huge difference in the story. But definitely a good start for our action star.
Yeah, well, it's, I know what I mean. Like I said, I'm kind of out of it, and, I have to apologize to, Mr. Stallone for being a little bit out of it. Do you accept my apology?
No.
Alright, well, he wanted me to apologize, but he doesn't accept it. Alright, no problemo.
Yes,
it is. So what would be the next movie that
probably the quintessential
probably the big one, because we'll skip through some of the other ones, but 1976 brought us Rocky,
the greatest underdog story of all time
ever. And it was also, not only does it star Stallone, he also wrote it.
Yep.
And, it's probably next to one of his other movies, which we'll discuss after, is the one that he's best known for. Yes? Good. Okay. Well, you're not agreeing with me.
Oh, no, I agree. But, I don't know. Would you say that he's more well-known for Rocky, or do you think Rambo would...
Rocky.
Yeah.
We've had more Rocky movies than Rambo movies.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, like, in terms of general wide audience, who is more famous? Because I love Rocky far more, but I've had a lot of discussions with people saying they think Rambo is the one that made him the legend that he is.
Well, maybe, but a lot of... We'll get into it when we get to the movie, but... there's a few things about Rambo that people seem to actually forget. What do you... You love the first movie?
I love... It's not my favorite of the five films, but it is... it's an absolutely fantastic introduction to the character.
You mean six films?
Hmm? Oh, yeah, yeah. What am I... Oh, you know what? Sorry, excuse me. I will stick with five because I don't acknowledge Rocky Five. As
I was wondering about
existing.
That.
So, yeah, so I stand by my number.
No.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Sylvester,
see?
You know.
He gets
it. Yeah, he's just a bit, yeah, you know. Yeah, so Rocky, if people don't know what Rocky's about, well, there's something wrong with them.
It's about a rock that rocks.
It rocks very hard. Yeah. Well, Sylvester Stallone plays...
The Tyrant's Tyrant.
That's right. He's a boxer, and he ends up getting noticed. And he goes and fights the heavyweight champion, who is Apollo Creed, played by Carl Weathers. And
Carl Weathers is the man.
And while he's getting ready for it all, he falls in love with a special lady.
Adrian!
I was waiting for your impersonation of it.
Adrian!
No, Adrian!
Yes.
Absolutely classic. I love Talia Shire. She was definitely, you know, that was one thing about that film way back. She wasn't a beauty queen. She wasn't, she was very shy. She didn't like to go out, things like that. She was pretty much the exact opposite of Rocky's personality and, you know, outgoing and everything like that. That's what he's like. And he brought so much out of her. She brought so much out of him. And there was that underdog story that built up from there. It's just incredible how it built throughout the films.
Yep. Indeed.
And the just probably one of my favorite romance, like, couples, like, on-screen couples ever.
I would agree there. It's very special. And, let me see. What did Mr. Stallone follow Rocky up with?
Just some smaller roles.
Well, I know there's one here called F-I-S-T.
Fist?
Fist.
And who is in Fist?
Rod Steiger.
Peter Boyle. Wow, some good names.
Johnny Kovac joins the Teamsters trade union in a local chapter in the 1930s and works his way up in the organization. As he climbs higher and higher, his methods become more ruthless, and finally Senator Madsen starts a campaign to find the truth about the alleged connections with the mob. I haven't seen it.
No.
Haven't even heard of it, so not much to discuss about. The one after that is Paradise Alley. I can't really remember this one very well.
I think I saw this when I was a young kid, but I don't remember it very well. I do remember that Sly actually did write and direct it.
He did. But I can't really remember it too well. So again, there's not much I can actually say about it.
But, yeah, Kevin Conley's in this as well.
Yeah, and Tom Waits was in it.
Yeah, this was Sly's directorial debut. I know that.
Yeah. And he's got Armando Sante playing his brother.
I forgot about that. And then they did Judge Dredd together. All kinds of stuff.
Sylvester Stallone apparently likes to work with the same people.
Yeah.
Because,
if it works, why not?
Yep. So after that, we've got Rocky II.
My favorite.
Rocky II is your favorite?
Rocky 2 is my favorite of the Rocky series. I think just the inspiration. I think anyone who's seeking inspiration in life should watch that film.
And he directed this one.
Yes, he did.
And it's got the same people in it.
Yep.
The same people involved, same characters, the same actors playing those characters.
Mickey.
Oh, yeah, well, you didn't mention Mickey.
Boygus Meredith.
Now, we didn't mention Paulie either.
Oh, yeah. God, Burt Young did so good at playing him. Such
good stuff. I haven't seen Rocky 2 for a long time, and I have to apologize to Mr. Stallone for not having seen some of your movies for a while. So, yeah, not very good person.
No.
Yeah. See? So why don't you give us the rundown of Rocky 2?
Basically, Rocky 2 follows pretty much 5 minutes after the first one ends, where Apollo Creed and Rocky have pretty much gone at a stalemate in their match, and it was decided that Apollo wins just by the amount of points. But the problem is, you know, he's not happy with that outcome. He thinks, you know, he's getting hate mail throughout the second film saying he's a disgrace to, you know, his people and
to his peeps.
And saying, I'm assuming like the African American population at the time, they were all disgraced by him. Saying you can't beat a white man, things like that. The heavyweight champion of the world can't beat an underdog. So basically the entire film is focused around him challenging Rocky to a rematch. And Rocky's not exactly sure if he should, as, you know, Adrian's pregnant and all these things are happening, and she doesn't want him to fight. But then there's one key moment where she supports him in going out and winning, and that's where, you know, the inspiration comes from. And I always love that it's the love story and it's the determination and drive, and eventually they end up fighting again. It's probably one of the most epic boxing matches in cinematic history, like other than like Raging Bull and all them. So
yeah, that's something amazing. Like that.
Thanks,
well,
Sly.
He agrees with your rundown.
I guess I got it right.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. That's the rundown.
Sly's got brains. He's got brains.
He's got brains somewhere in there. So we'll bring up the next batch of movies that he did after that.
Yeah.
One after that is Nighthawks.
Yeah.
Which, again, I so can't remember this movie.
I don't know if I've seen it.
It also features Rutger Hauer, and in every single movie that he apparently makes, Joe Spinell is in it as well.
Yeah, I see that.
And Billy Dee Williams is in this.
There's
one.
Billy Dee Williams.
Mr. Lando Calrissian.
The man who should have been District Attorney Harvey Dent.
Well, he was in one movie.
Well, he should have gone further. They should have put the makeup on it.
Okay, that's weird.
He could have been that
man. Well, since I can't remember this movie, I'm not really going to talk about it much more.
Come on. We just got to slide the podcast toward Billy Dee. He's just too cool.
Well, maybe I'll dedicate a whole podcast to him next time.
Awesome.
Next one was Victory, and I do remember this movie because I watched it on TV. Not too long ago. It's about prisoners of war. They play a soccer game against the German team. I think they play it in the Nazi occupied is it France somewhere? I can't remember. I have to look it up on IMDb.
Paris.
Yeah, it's a pretty good movie from...
It's quite the cast.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Like, Stallone isn't really, like, a main character, but, yeah, it was just, like, an interesting story and good performances from everybody.
Huh.
So, yeah, not a bad movie. Victory! Well, the next one is Rocky III.
Another very good one.
And this one featured Mr. T and Hulk Hogan.
Oh, when the Hulk was the size of a school bus.
The size of a school bus.
Like, he was massive back. There was a time, Hulk's not as big now, obviously he's older, but you watch, like, you know how big Sly is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hulk back then made him look like a little tiny, just a little stick figure. It was ridiculous. He was just a monster. And also, yeah, did you say Mr. T?
Mr. T.
Pity the Fool.
Apparently.
Who actually gave a really good performance in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Is that right?
He doesn't believe you. He's a little shocked by this. Really, Sylvester? That's interesting.
Yeah.
But Stallone directed this one again.
Is he dead?
Indeed.
He definitely kept up tradition.
So, do you want to give us the rundown of this one?
Yeah, I guess I could.
And again, we've still got the same cast.
Yep, same
actors playing those characters, which is good.
Yep. Because got Hulk Hogan playing Thunder Lips.
Thunder Lips, right. Maybe they should call him Thunder Ass.
Yeah, something like that.
I don't know why, but anyway.
Doesn't sound that appropriate, but anyway.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Basically, Rocky III revolves around Sylvester now being the heavyweight champion of the world after beating Apollo in Rocky II. And they actually become good friends throughout the film. Spoiler alert, I guess. I don't know.
No!
It's been out for like 30 years, so I think I'm going to hit this one. But...
He's interrupting you, but that's anyway.
Anyway. Am I screwing it up, Sly?
Continue.
Like, am I really screwing it up?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, continuing on with that. So then comes along Mr. T, who is another underdog who's rising up in the world of boxing and wants to challenge Rocky to the heavyweight championship. And pretty much he's undefeatable, so the whole movie revolves around this big fight.
Hmm. Well,
there's a lot more to it than that, but I can.
But that's the rundown, and Sylvester wasn't very happy with it anyway. So,
I mean, it was a goofy. It was the first goofy Rocky.
Mm.
You know, I mean, it had some very serious, sad moments. I'm not going to say what they are for those who've never seen them, but I shed a few tears in this one.
I haven't seen again. Something I haven't seen for a while, but maybe I'll have a Stallone Fest one day.
Yes, sir. It's worth it for these movies.
Yeah. The next movie made in the same year is the other big one. But people often mistake the name for this movie. It's actually called First Blood. It's not called Rambo.
No, his name is Rambo.
His name is John Rambo, but the movie's called First Blood. And people often think this movie is something that it's not. They think like a million people die in this movie, but I think it's only like one person dies in this movie.
I don't even think. Yeah, and that wasn't even by
that John wasn't Tam. By him. Yeah,
yeah, it was. I can't even remember how the hell it even. Oh, that's right. I remember a guy who fell out of a helicopter.
Yeah. I mean, I watched it not long ago because it was on TV, but I couldn't remember because I think I missed that bit. But this movie, he's a can't even talk. I'm so sorry, Sylvester. Please forgive me.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good. He gets confused sometimes. He's just looking at how beautiful I am, and you know. Anyway. The movie is about John Rambo, who's he's a Vietnam veteran, and he's gone back to a small town. I think he's went to visit the family of. A friend that got killed.
Yeah.
And basically the sheriff or whoever.
Yeah, the great Brian Dennehy.
Brian Dennehy has a problem with him, and then he kind of just ends up having like a one man against the town's police force sort of thing. It's him against them. But you see his story in Vietnam and stuff through flashbacks and all the things that he went through.
Yeah.
That's the story. Yeah.
That movie pissed off a lot of Vietnam vets, I'll tell you that.
Mm. But yeah, that's the story in a nutshell.
Yeah.
So that's First Blood, pretty much. And
it is a good one.
It's a very good movie, and if you keep your eyes out, you'll see a very young David Caruso.
That's true. He's one of the sheriff's deputies, if I remember correctly.
He is. I when I hadn't seen it for such a long time, and I saw him in it, I just could not stop laughing. He just looks so young and hilarious, and he looks nothing like, Horatio, whatever, from CSI Miami. Yeah, wow. Yeah. Whatever. Damn, where's that music?
You when I paired sunglasses.
Yeah, but the reason this would be called First Blood is because they kind of drew the first blood, I guess.
True.
But in a way, like, you know, for no reason, just picking on him, I guess. But yeah, I think this movie is probably one of the most it's kind of like misinformed when people talk about it, if that makes sense, because they forget, like, it's not what they remember it to be. They remember it to be this ultra-violent movie, but it's not.
No, they're all confusing it with the second movie.
Yeah, so that's First Blood. next, and this, I got to bring this movie up just because it's so shit. Now, Stallone directed and wrote this movie, and he has a tiny cameo in it, but it was a sequel to a big film in the 70s starring John Travolta, and that would be Staying Alive. I have no idea why Stallone wanted to direct and write a sequel to that movie, but...
Oh, Saturday Night Fever?
Yeah, for, you know, writing a sequel for Saturday Night Fever. Yep. And directing it, but Staying Alive is one of the shittiest movies ever made.
Well,
no.
I'm sorry, but yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Arnold, do you agree with me?
Yeah.
Well, bad luck. Arnold agrees with me.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what I don't know what drugs he was on, but it's such a fucking shithouse movie.
I saw it when I was a kid, and I've never gotten around to it again.
Mm. All right. The next movie he did is one that we did not talk about in the last podcast. It came out the year I was born. It's a film starring Stallone with a singer called Dolly Parton. And the film is called Rhinestone.
Yep.
Do we need to even say anything more about this movie?
Nope. Because guess what? It's about a country music star. Oh my god, Dolly Parton's a country music star
too? That's so far-fetched. I cannot believe it. That doesn't work.
She's got big boobs. Can you believe it?
No.
I do love the DVD cover, though. It's just, like, Stallone, and he's still got his, you know, 80s mullet, and he's in a big, giant, yellow muscle shirt.
I think he's really upset by what you said there.
Yeah, you saying I got no brains?
See? He's upset.
You know, I'm sly. I'm sorry, brother.
You better be. Okay. To make up for it, he decided to make Rambo First Blood Part 2.
Yeah, baby.
Now, since I really badly described First Blood, you can describe this one.
Rambo First Blood Part 2. Basically, they decided to take John's character and put him on steroids. And basically, it starts off, he's in a special type of prison camp, and after all the events of the first movie, obviously. And they basically call upon him and recruit him to go in and save a group of these, I can't remember if they were like veterans that, something like that. He has to basically go in. He's a one-man army. He's got to go in and get these prisoners of war. I can't remember if it was Vietnam or some.
It's Vietnam. Area.
It is Vietnam. Mm-hmm. Okay. Been a while since I've seen it, but he has to go in. But the problem is, when he eventually gets them, he's basically betrayed. He gets to the rendezvous where they're supposed to pick him up, but they don't. And so now he's got to find some way of getting out of the war zone with these men all alive. And from there, it's just nothing but balls to the wall, blood, guts, everything you possibly imagine. James Cameron wrote it.
Mm.
He actually wrote it. He actually wrote that and Aliens at the same time. Mm-hmm. So you can definitely feel that Cameron touch. But Rambo was just pure, you know, action, fun, guts, blood, everything you wanted. So,
yep, that's pretty much it, isn't it?
There's really nothing else to it, like, other than like the famous shooting the you know, friggin' giant machine gun and biceps are jiggling back and forth. And
I think it was. I think it was the look from that movie was probably just what got plastered everywhere, like the big muscles and the gun and the awesome hairdo.
Which is amazing. Well, that's the thing, and that's why I think people always confuse that with the first film, mm-hmm. because in the first film, he's really not that big in it.
No.
He's kind of a skinny guy, and he's, you know, kind of worn down, and, you know, a different hairstyle, things like that. He just looks like someone who's gotten back from a rough time.
Mm.
Where in this movie, he's in the shape of his life, and he's, you know, glistening, and he's got the bandana and everything else, so yeah.
Mm.
Good movie though.
Yeah, so he followed that one up with Rocky IV. And this movie I think it introduced a certain other action star to everybody. Would I be correct in saying that? Because a lot of people really remember him from that movie, and I think it was one of his first movies.
Probably.
And that would be Dolph, however the hell you pronounce your last name.
Lundgren.
Lundgren, blah, blah.
That's right.
Indeed. And again, we still got the same cast of characters for Rocky IV.
Ellie Shire, Burt Young, Carl Weathers.
Mm-hmm. And we also, I believe Bridget Nielsen was in this.
Yep, and back when she was still good looking.
Yeah, before, well. And I don't know if it was before the drugs and stuff, but.
That's the thing. Nobody believes me when I tell them, you know what, there was a time when Bridget was really hot.
Yeah, but then drugs and everything destroyed everything.
Yeah, and Flavor Flav came along too.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure her drug problems ruined the marriage with Stallone.
Mm.
But
I think there was a lot of things involved in that. I remember the press and all that at the time.
But anyway, Rocky IV.
Rocky IV. Do you want me to give you another?
You're the Rocky rundown man.
You're the Rocky man.
I'm just randomly giving you movies to talk about. So
as long as I have Sly's permission, then I will proceed.
Do you give him permission?
Yeah.
All right. Go for it.
Awesome. Thanks, Sly. I don't care what Arnie has to say, because this is all about Sly. So.
Yeah, Arnie's here for moral support.
Exactly. So, basically, Rocky IV, I mean, all the films just back right onto one another in terms of timeline, but Rocky IV starts off where Apollo Creed is now best friends with Rocky. They've actually grown a special bond at this point. And Apollo's been basically challenged to fight this Russian boxer who is, superior in size and strength, Dolph Lundgren, a.k.a. in the film, Ivan Drago. And during the match, Apollo is killed because of the massive pounding that he takes. And Rocky takes it upon himself, you know, he feels guilty over the whole thing, and he wants revenge, but...
Revenge.
In the ring. What's that?
I said revenge.
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 Apollo. But anyway, so in that regard, Rocky decides to challenge Ivan Drago to a match, but not in the U.S. He actually wants to fight over in Russia. For his own set of reasons, and I think anybody who knows how movies like these go, you know, knows how the movie finishes.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely, it also had one of the greatest, like, montages ever.
The getting ready scene.
The exercising scene.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean, the exercising.
But anyway, yeah. I love that song, but it's definitely a great flick. Not one of the best, but a good entry into the series.
Hold on a second. So that was Rocky IV.
That was Rocky IV.
The next movie is one of my favorites. Do you know what it is?
I think I have an idea.
All right.
Is it a form of snake?
Indeed it is.
Hmm. Then it has to be Cobra.
Cobra. And what's his name in the movie? Marion Cobretti.
Another George P. Cosmatos, who also directed Rambo 2.
Yeah, I watched this movie again recently, and I just kind of had forgotten just how much this movie just defined the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
The look, the style, the music. It's just pure 80s.
Well, it's got the greatest tagline ever. Crime is the disease. Meet the cure.
Cobra. Yeah, this one also starred Bridget Nielsen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's, what is he, like, he's a badass cop.
Very
and,
badass.
And there's, like, oh, what was it, like a gang of just retards. I mean retards in the sense that they're just idiot people. And Bridget Nielsen's character, I think, sees something and he has to protect her, but one of the cops is with the bad guys and blah, 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 and then there's lots of just over-the-top action.
Every possible cliche possible, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. That's pretty much it. That's Cobra, basically.
I love cliches.
Yeah. And after Cobra, we had...
one of my absolute favorite Stallone flicks ever.
Over the top. This is the arm wrestling movie.
That it is.
All right, since you love it so much, tell us about it.
Basically, story of a truck driver named Lincoln Hawk, who's played by Stallone. And he's trying to, you know, get his life back together. And he has a son who basically his wife, ex-wife now, was part of a very rich family, and they wanted to take his son away from him for good. No custody, no nothing, and he's still trying to struggle as a truck driver. So he enters what is basically the ultimate, you know, American arm wrestling competition, where the winner, I think, gets like $500,000 and a brand new rig, like a full 18-wheeler truck. And this is the one he's entering into, and, you know, the father of his ex-wife is trying to make him leave and paying him off, but he's like, I'm gonna win this competition, buddy, you know, and win back my you know, be able to take care of my son and things like that. And it's incredibly cliched. I mean, there's not a lot of great writing, but it's Stallone at his funnest. Like, he's just a riot in it, and it's got a lot of great funny moments. And watching the arm wrestling is some of the most entertaining shit you'll ever see in your life. Everything's in slow motion, and, you know.
Can't go past slow motion.
Yeah, it really is. Like, all you hear is, like, as they're trying to, you know, win over the other. It's like, oh, God. You just can't help but laugh.
Mm.
But it's still one of my faves.
So, yeah, that's Over the Top.
Oh, absolutely. Classic. It's just like Cobra. It's 100% pure Stallone cliched madness.
Mm, it just seems funny that it's called Over the Top because it's over the top.
Yeah, anyway. Absolutely.
Next, we have Rambo 3.
This is okay. The
Afghanistan one.
Yes, correct. He has to go in and save Richard Crenna.
Yep. I think this one was... well, over the top, wasn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't. I mean, yeah, it was pretty over the top, and the story was kind of dumb, and I don't know. It seemed like they came up with the story in like 5 minutes.
Probably. You
know? Let's do another Rambo. Oh, okay. Troutman gets kidnapped. Okay, there you go. Done.
Pretty much. Yeah. Is there much to say about this one? Not really.
Yeah,
I don't really have anything to say about it, so...
it's not nearly as good as what's coming.
Right after that, we've got Lock Up, which is a prison movie for Mr. Stallone.
Donald Sutherland.
The great Donald Sutherland.
The Warden.
What an evil man.
That was a good movie.
Lock Up is probably one of his underrated films, I think.
Yeah, it had a pretty wild ending.
Mm.
In terms of, like, the electric chair, and there was all sorts of really, really, like, thriller-type moments. It was just a fun flick.
Do you want to give a quick rundown of this one? I'm totally doing the next one, and I think you know why. So it's your turn to do this one. I can't see that.
Basically the plot is there's this guy named Frank, played by Stallone, and he's if I recall correctly, he was coming to the end of his prison sentence, and he was getting on finally going on parole. It was a very small crime that he had actually committed, and then Donald Sutherland comes along as Warden Drumgool, I think that's how it was pronounced, and he takes charge, and basically, he makes Stallone's life a living hell in it. And to make sure that he never leaves, he starts creating all these, little situations and basically making his life a living hell within the prison. So that's basically the whole focus of the whole thing. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, it's, it's underrated. Really good movie of Stallone's.
Oh, yeah.
All right, next one.
Oh, the next one. Drum roll.
The next one. Tango and Cash. And why do I love this movie so much? It's Stallone teamed up with Kurt Russell. It's the best of the best, baby.
Is that right?
Yes. What's it about? Well, Stallone and Kurt, or whatever. Sly and Kurt.
It's about your husband, Kurt Russell, and Steven, and whoever. Who else is in the movie? Oh, no, just Kurt Russell.
It's just Kurt Russell. No, Kurt and Sly are two, like, rival cops. They're, like, complete opposites of each other, and they get framed. They get put in jail, and the jail has, like, all the criminals that they put there. So they have to kind of, like, team up to clear their name and everything. And this movie gives us one of the best scenes ever. And it's a scene where they're both naked and you see their bums together. Their butts, asses, whatever you want to call it.
Why did I know you were going to bring that up?
Of course. That's my favourite scene ever.
No.
Yes.
He didn't want to show his butt, did you?
Yeah.
He really did. He does quite a bit in some of his movies.
Oh, he doesn't mind it, especially, like, in his 90s flicks. He didn't mind showing off the ass.
We'll be bringing that up soon. But,
yeah, it won't be that far.
But I know a lot of people don't like Tango and Cash, but I love Tango and Cash. It's a fun, like, buddy cop movie. Like, Stallone even pays himself out in the beginning of the movie. but it's awesome, and I thought they like made a pretty good team. So
they definitely had a lot of comedic chemistry.
Yeah,
a long way.
It really worked. I mean, I don't know if they still talk to each other or anything, but it kind of would have been cool to see Kurt Russell in The Expendables.
Well, here's a little tidbit that you might not have known. Apparently. And I read this, I can't remember where I read it, but Kurt Russell was actually the first guy approached to play the character that Bruce Willis is playing in The Expendables.
Okay.
So Kurt, in fact, was the first approached, but he turned it down.
Yeah.
For some reason, it was kind of unclear. Apparently, he didn't want to do an ensemble-type movie or... Something like that, and then in the end, Bruce Willis was cast in that role.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the actual story might be, but whatever.
Well, we'll find out.
Nobody says anything bad about Kurt Russell.
Nobody?
No. And if they do, my fist will be in their face.
Is that right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So that's Tango and Cash, anyway. Now,
and then we come to the ultimate.
I'm going to let you talk about this one because you love it so much. Rookie 5, which, funnily enough, Sylvester Stallone did not direct.
Gee, what a surprise. But he did write it.
Well, he wrote it and he brought back Rocky's original director.
Yeah. My God. This movie is so bad. I mean, there are a lot of people who argue with me on this, but it basically starts off, it takes Rocky and it basically throws him down into a meat grinder. Within 10 minutes of the movie, he's gone completely bankrupt. His title is on the line. Paulie has screwed them over royally. His relationship with his son is wearing thin. I'm like, we went from the utter glory and celebration of the fourth movie and went straight down the drain. Everything was destroyed. Which can be an interesting, sidetrack for a story. But then they had to throw in this asshole character named Tommy the Machine Gun, who Rocky takes under his wing. You know, they've moved back into, the poor parts of, Philadelphia, him and Adrian. They all live in a tiny little house again. And he decides to train this Tommy the Machine Gun, who in the end of the movie becomes so popular that he actually is manipulated into challenging Rocky to a fight. And it just, the movie just falls apart in so many different places. I think it was, without question, the worst installment of the series. I mean, it's not horrible, but I don't know. I don't understand what they were trying to do.
Well, the Razzies think it was horrible because it got nominated for a few awards.
Yeah, some of the acting was terrible.
So, yeah, that's Rocky 5.
Yeah, Rocky 5 was terrible.
Is there really much more you can say about it other side that it was terrible?
Not really.
Mm.
It just tanked.
Yeah, so what do you think about the next film? It's called Oscar.
Oscar.
By John Landis, director.
I have not actually seen this movie.
Really?
I am dead serious.
You haven't seen Oscar.
Despite being directed by the great John Landis, I have not seen it.
Well, Oscar, again, it's something I haven't seen for a long time, but it's just one of those really just, it's kind of like a love it or hate it movie.
Yeah.
I mean, in my case, it's like, just like a guilty pleasure that I used to watch a long time ago.
No.
I'll probably watch it again, because I'll totally have to do like a slime marathon. Okay, but yes, Stallone apparently was in the mood to do some comedies. At this point in the early 90s. But this one's okay. It's kind of like got the whole like crime thing and then, try to be honest, get out of the crime business. But yeah, that's Oscar. And it also has Tim Curry in it.
Tim Curry.
I'll just mention that. He followed this up. Sorry, I'm going to mention this. He followed this up with probably, one of the worst movies entitled Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Yeah.
And
this guilty pleasure for me.
Yeah, his mum was played by Estelle Getty, who most people would remember as, got her name in The Golden Girls. Sophia. That's right. Sophia from The Golden Girls.
Yeah, Sophia Gates.
There we go. I don't really like this movie.
I think it's funny, you can tell that I don't know if it's just me, but Sly doesn't look like he's having any fun in this movie. Like, he's like, stop! Oh, my mom will shoot! Like, he looks like he's in pain to say that line.
Yeah, I don't really blame the poor man.
No.
Mm.
I don't blame him at all. That movie was definitely Oscar and Stop or My Mom Will Shoot were two comedic missteps.
Yeah.
For Sly in that regard.
Yeah, not one of his finest hours.
No.
However, he did follow it up with a pretty awesome movie.
One of my all-time favorites.
It is called Cliffhanger, and we've got one of our guilty pleasure directors, Rennie Harlan.
I miss that man. I don't know what happened to him. He used to be one of my favorites, and now he's doing John Cena movies. So, I don't understand how he fell so far.
Yeah, but let's talk about the greatness of Cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger is badass. Cliffhanger. But John Lithgow is an awesome villain.
Yeah, John Lithgow, the baddie.
Eric Quaylen. And then there was Michael Rooker. It's just a great, great story. And, it had beautiful aerial shots. And it had great action. And the guy from, Cool Runnings? Oh, Leon. I remember watching this. What's that?
Yeah, sorry. You mentioning Cool Runnings. Oh, yeah, now I remember.
But do you remember, you've seen Cool Runnings, right?
Yeah, many times. Yeah, I remember who you're talking about now.
Well, that's the thing. I remember seeing Cool Runnings when I was very, very young, and I always loved Leon in it, and I love all the characters. But then you watch, Cliffhanger, and Leon just plays this absolute son of a bitch.
Mm.
And I remember watching this kid. I was like, Leon, why are you being so mean? He's really nasty. But no, Cliffhanger is definitely it was definitely a rebound for Sly in terms of. His past three films were pretty shitty, so.
Yeah.
It was a great story, great opening. Definitely one of the most memorable.
And he, because of, I don't know what I was going to say. I was because of something, but now I can't remember what I was going to say. I completely lost that thought there. Whoops. Never mind. I'm having a really bad day.
You're all right.
I've embarrassed myself enough.
Hey, don't worry about it. Can you forgive her, Sly?
Yeah.
Good. So, yeah, that was Cliffhanger, which got followed up with Demolition Another Man. Favorite. And this one had Sylvester Stallone as John Spartan, which is, such an awesome character name.
Hell yeah.
He's a badass cop, and he, his, I guess, arch nemesis is played by Wesley Snipes as Simon Phoenix, who's the badass of all badasses.
He was so hilarious. I consider this one of it's in my top three funniest action movies ever.
Yeah, and definitely one of Snipes' best movies, easily.
Oh, big time.
I'm trying to remember the beginning. Something Basically, happens. They both get caught or something, and they go to they get frozen.
Yeah, basically how it started was we're in, modern day Los Angeles, and there's crime and everything else all over the place. Stallone goes in as a one-man army, of course, and to capture Simon Phoenix, and he ends up capturing him, but he was supposed to find out from Phoenix where these passengers on a bus that were kidnapped by him. And he never found out where they were. And later on, you find out that they were actually in the building that had just exploded, and Spartan didn't, save them. Basically let everything go to hell and everybody died. And so he ended up serving.
That's right.
Yeah, a major sentence, and he ends up getting cryogenically frozen with Phoenix.
Yeah, that's what they do, apparently.
Yeah, it doesn't... It's cool, but...
Yeah. But, of course, they both end up getting thawed out.
In the funniest ways possible.
Yeah, and, with the police now, there's, apparently no crime... Blah, blah, blah. The cops are, complete idiots.
I love Phoenix's description of the new era. He's like, the world has become a pussy-whipped Brady Bunch version of itself. Which is exactly correct.
Yeah, and Sandra Bullock and Benjamin Bratt play some of the cops.
Sandra was so hot in that movie.
And apparently you don't use toilet paper in this future, you use seashells or something.
You use three seashells.
I don't get it, but whatever.
I think I get it, but there's actually, I think somewhere on the internet there's an online guide on how to use them. I gotta find it.
Yeah, that's interesting. They also not allowed to swear, and that because they both swear a lot, it leaves for some funny scenes. The costumes they end up wearing are so fucking stupid.
Oh yeah, even he, like at one point, he's looking at himself like, what the fuck?
Yeah. But Demolition Man, awesome fun times.
Also, you can't forget Dennis Leary.
Yeah, Dennis Leary.
Another funny role.
Yeah, he's good in that too.
And then...
Yeah. So, after Demolition Man, I think this is probably a very much a hated movie.
Yeah, it wasn't that good.
It has a pretty just awful, a pretty awful sex scene in it.
Yeah. Despite it being Sharon Stone.
Yes. We'll be talking about The Specialist, starring Mrs. Stallone, Sharon Stone, James Woods, Rod... Is it... Do you pronounce it Steiger? I said Steiger before. No, that's right.
Yeah, Steiger.
Steiger. But, yeah. And Eric Roberts. So, yeah.
It was okay. I mean, it was kind of boring, to be honest with you.
Well, this is movie's weird. Stallone is like a bomb expert dude. And yeah. So is James Woods. And doing something they're supposed to be doing, a bus blows up. Stallone goes hidden, whatever. This movie doesn't make any sense. But Sharon Stone contacts Stallone to, like, help her out with the people that killed her family, which happens to be Eric Roberts. Same. And blah, blah, blah. And, yeah, the movie doesn't make any sense. There's all kinds of explosions that don't make sense.
Yeah.
There's a lot of plot holes and...
And James Woods always seems to be, like, right on top of his character. Like, oh, he used this device, and he did this. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Okay, I'm done. Move on.
Yeah.
It's
kind of, like, funny to watch in the sense that it's, like, such a bad movie.
True. And this was also, as we mentioned earlier, this is a movie where Stallone shows his ass.
Yeah, he shows his bum.
There's a shower scene with...
There's a shower sex scene, and you're just sitting there shaking your head, like, what the hell?
What's happening here?
It's not like, sexy whatsoever.
So you're leather me up with soap, Sharon.
The Specialist would lead us to another universally hated movie, Judge Dredd.
I don't know why this movie is so hated.
I look at this movie as a comedy.
I absolutely love this movie.
That's what it is.
I don't care what anyone's nostalgia critic, I don't care what any of them say, I love this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Even in all its Rob Schneiderness, like, I just think it's a great, fun flick.
Rob Schneider was probably, like, the lowest part for me, but I just try and ignore him anyway, but...
I don't know, I thought he had some genuine funny moments.
I just don't like him. I think in the comic book adaptations podcast, we kind of talked a bit about this movie. It's just a funny movie. It's not serious.
Well, I love, you know, Armand Asante played a great villain, I thought, first off. And Diane Lane, enough said.
Exactly.
You
can't say that he has ugly... female co-stars for the most part.
That man knows how to get them. There's no question of that. I mean, that was Diane, like, in her, I think she was, like, in her, very late 20s at that point. But anyway. I don't think I'm going to be able to get past that now. But, Yeah, I thought Stallone, it's a goofy movie. There's no question of that. But there are a lot of, you know, great moments in it. And it was definitely one of my favorites as a kid. It's definitely an ultimate guilty pleasure.
Yeah. I haven't seen it for a while, but when I did watch it last time, I just laughed.
I'm looking forward to the remake that they're all, you know, the studio is planning.
Yeah, we'll see how they go, because I'm pretty sure, I mean, I've never, ever read a comic, but from what I understand, it was nothing like it, or it stuffed it up big time. Mm. Yeah, but the next movie on the list is probably one of, like, my favorite action thriller movies.
It's pretty good.
That would be Assassins by director Richard Donner.
With Antonio Banderas.
Yes, with Antonio.
Hello, that greasy, Antonio. Long-haired man.
Oh, he's so hot in this movie.
Oh. Yeah, literally. I remember that scene where he's up in the bell tower.
Oh my god, he's like sweating big time.
He's like sweating for. I'm like, dude, go get a fucking drink or something. Stop sweating.
He does have a drink.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think he does.
All I can remember from that movie.
I remember he pisses in the bottle, I think.
Yeah. Oh, maybe he did have some. All I can remember is just him, you know, getting frustrated and wiping his head every 5 seconds.
Mm.
Oh, when is Stallone going to come out of the bank or whatever? And Stallone's just sitting there waiting for the money.
Yeah, well, that was the point. But, yeah, well, if you haven't seen Assassins or don't know what it's about, Stallone is an assassin. And Antonio Banderas is an assassin. And they kind of, like, end up being rivals. Stallone's, like, I guess, the best of the best at the moment. It's got to do with, I think it was his mentor has something to do with the story, which I won't really reveal too much about. If you haven't seen it, kind of ruins it.
Really recall.
But there ends up being a hit put out on Stallone. Well, actually, first there's a hit put out on Elektra, played by Julianne Moore.
Oh.
And she's hot in this movie. again, the good-looking women.
Yep.
Can't
do without it.
Yeah, well, there's a hit put out on her, but Stallone doesn't kill women or children. So he ends up protecting her, and Antonio is after them both.
That seems to be the code of every assassin in movies. Yeah. No women, kids.
Yeah. But what's his name? The Antonio Banderas character doesn't really care.
No.
This is, like, by far one of the best movies he's done.
Yeah, I agree.
As, you know, as far as acting character, like, he's just really awesome.
Compared to his latest shit.
Yeah, he's really good in it. And, you know, at this point in his career, he was just starting to be in the English movies. But at that...
Yeah, these were his Desperado days.
Yeah, at this point, like, with this and that and a few of the other early ones, he couldn't really speak English very well, so he just had to, he didn't really understand what he was saying. But he was just learning to speak the words, if that makes sense.
Pretty much, yeah. So he knew the dialect.
Yeah, so his accent is pretty strong, but you can understand what he's saying. But, yeah, true. He's just... I wish they showed more of him in the bath scene, but that's just me being a perv.
Yeah, I have every right to be one, I believe. Believe me, if they had Julianne Moore in a bath, then we'd be talking that too.
Yeah, but, yeah, it's a really good, interesting movie. It's funny to think about, the role of Antonio Banderas, like, the character is called Miguel.
Yeah.
But you have people like Woody Harrelson and Tom Cruise being considered for Miguel, and it's like, yeah. Can
you imagine Woody Harrelson as Miguel?
Not really, no.
Yeah, see, that's the whole thing, and...
but... Yeah, it ended up being really well cast, so.
It was a good Richard Donner flick.
Yeah, it's another man that I miss.
Yeah.
In the director's seat, anyway. Let's move on. The next one is a film called Daylight.
Which I love.
Really?
I love Daylight.
I'll be honest with you, I haven't seen this movie, I don't think, since maybe it came out, because I really fucking don't remember it.
Daylight was basically the story of there's this, I guess, a group of trucks that are actually transporting, they're driving through New York City, and they're carrying highly explosive chemicals on them. If, you know, they're from a basically a waste station, and they're not supposed to be driving through the city. And at one point, they start traveling through one of the, I think it's one of the Brooklyn tunnels between Manhattan and Jersey. And I've got it on DVD. That's how I know all these freaking details. But and cool. So anyway, there's an accident, and there's a massive explosion in the tunnel, and a bunch of people are sealed off inside. And it's, you know, over time, the tunnel itself is starting to collapse. So Stallone plays an ex-paramedic and emergency services unit guy, of course, who just happens to be, you know, near the tunnel when this whole thing goes down. And so they find a way to get him inside the tunnel and save these people. It's a definitely, you know, heart in your throat type thriller suspense type show. Viggo Mortensen's actually in it as well.
Well, I was going to say, it must be that long since I've seen it because I didn't realize Viggo was in it.
The Territory Beyond. He plays this like sports, you know, mogul, like a Tiger Woods type thing, except for rock climbing and stuff like that. Mm. But
I do remember Amy Brennan, the Brenneman, being in it though.
Which guy?
No, Amy Brennan.
Oh, Amy. Sorry, I didn't hear the Amy, but.
Well, last time I checked, I don't think she was a man. So.
I didn't hear it. Okay, stop busting my balls.
Shut up. Yeah.
No.
Go on.
No, but it was. I thought it was a great flick. I think it was a little underrated for the time. I don't think you'd see a lot of it today, but given the
that was kind of at the time. Like there was a few years where they just kept coming out with disaster movie after disaster movie after disaster movie.
Yeah, I agree with that. So. And this is when Rob Cohen, the director, was actually good. Like, or at least he was decent enough before the whole Triple X bullshit. So, and that's hilarious. Well, that was a moneymaker, so I guess
So, moving on from Daylight. I'm just looking at the IMDb. Apparently he was, I don't really remember this scene. In Men in Black, he was apparently an alien on the TV monitor.
Yeah, do you remember the scene where...
I remember the scene, but I don't remember him being on the screen. I remember, like, Michael Jackson being on it.
Yeah, there was... Yeah, Stallone was on it, then there was Steven Spielberg, and there was Jerry... I think Jerry Seinfeld, either that or Kramer. I can't remember which one, but...
I just remember Michael Jackson being on it. But, yeah, the next one, which I would say was probably one of his best acting roles... And a very underrated movie, Copland.
Yeah, what a cast.
Very powerhouse cast.
Big time.
Do you want to run off the names?
Well, we got Stallone, of course. We got Harvey Keitel, Ray Liotta. It was Robert Patrick. There was Robert De Niro, Michael Rapaport, you know, Janine Garofalo. I can believe that. I don't know where she's gone. And, just an unbelievable powerhouse, especially, you know, for a cop movie. And director James Mangold, who recently did Night and Day and 310 to Yuma, I believe. And, it was definitely a very underrated flick, as you said.
Yeah.
One that I think deserved a lot more attention than it got.
This is the kind of movie, like, if you doubt Stallone can actually act in a dramatic role, just watch this.
Agreed.
I haven't seen it for a little while. It's in my collection, so this is one that I've been meaning to watch again.
Yeah, I don't own it, but I should.
Definitely should. And I might add, Robert De Niro sports a very awesome moustache in this movie.
Oh, stash is awesome. Stash.
Yeah. I mean, I could say more, but just because I haven't, like, seen it recently...
I haven't seen it in a while either.
Yeah, this is like about the sheriff's and you know, it's got the whole corruption thing going on and all that kind of stuff. So it's a very serious, dramatic movie. Next, we have Stallone using his voice for Ants. I didn't really like Ants, to be honest.
Haven't seen it.
I wasn't a fan of the movie. At the same time, A Bug's Life came out, which is similar because this one had, like, the ants and that one had bugs and ants and whatever.
Bug's Life's way better.
I much preferred that. The one after that was a remake called Get Carter.
Not nearly as good as the original.
I kind of thought it was okay up until the end.
Yeah, the ending was...
I thought the ending was retarded.
Yeah. I was pretty much done at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, Sly did a good job, but...
Yeah, it's just a meh film.
It was completely unnecessary. They improved nothing.
Mm. Yeah, it wasn't the greatest. Michael Caine was in it though.
Yeah, he was.
Which
is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you had people like Mickey Rourke in it. Who else was in it? Alan Cumming. I think was the bad guy. He was not remotely like threatening or anything.
Yeah, I always thought that. I'm like, are we supposed to be afraid of you? Or, like, what's going on? Then it was John C. McGinley, who's one of my favorite actors. I think, wasn't Rhona Mitra in that as well?
I don't remember her in it, but the IMDb says she was.
Oh, okay. I can't remember if she played it, but I thought she was in it.
Yeah, she was. And that chick from... She's All That, whatever the fuck her name was played the daughter. Lakeland. Yeah, that annoying person.
That annoying bitch.
Yeah, this movie's not that good. After that, we've got Driven, which is another Rennie film.
Yeah, it's garbage.
This one had, I think it had Burt Reynolds in it.
Yeah, when you take a teen racing movie and you throw in Burt Reynolds, you know it can't be that good.
The chick was, what's her name, Estella Warren?
Yes. I
remember her.
And Gina Gershon.
Yeah, not much to really say about this movie.
That's about the only positive thing I can say about the movie.
Yeah, that's Driven.
This is where it all began for Rennie, the downfall.
No, the downfall. I don't know. I think this is a direct-to-DVD movie, the next one. Detox, also called I See You.
No idea.
As in eye, like your eyeball.
I recognize the cover, but...
This was a weird movie. He's a cop, and I think there's, like, some kind of serial killer or something. He ends up going to, like, some rehab clinic that deals with cops and stuff. And then the other people in the clinic start getting killed off by this I See You killer. I only saw it once, and it was a long time ago, but I didn't think it was too bad for what it was. It was kind of like... Ass. Yeah, I was trying to kind of, like... be a horror movie. Mm. It's hard to remember it too well, so.
Must have been big if Ron Howard was playing. It says here Ron Howard's interested in directing at one point.
Yeah.
decided to direct How the Grinch Stole Christmas instead. Yeah.
Yeah.
Smart move, Ron.
Like I said, there's not much I can really say about it because I don't bloody remember that much.
I haven't seen it, so.
I mainly remember Robert Patrick being in it, just because I always remember him in movies.
Robert's in everything.
Yeah, basically. After that movie, he did Avenging Angelo, which I have not seen.
Neither have I.
I just know that it had him with Madeline Stowe on the cover.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it's about. Or anything.
a woman who has just discovered she is the daughter of a murdered mafia chieftain seeks revenge with the aid of her father's faithful bodyguard. Wow, does that sound
a lot
specialist?
That sounds like epic.
I must see this movie.
Yeah, nothing about that movie says go see me now, so.
Rent me, yeah, exactly.
Whatever. Let's see, after that, I do remember him being the toy maker in Spy Kids 3D.
I haven't seen any of the Spy Kids movies.
He was kind of just like, hamming it up, pretty much. It was funny, like, in a what-the-fuck-are-you-doing sort of way.
I remember seeing photos of him with the gray hair and the, you know, like the purple robes or whatever.
Whatever the
like
fuck he was wearing. Yeah. So after that, he took a few years off and he came back with Rocky Balboa.
Man, oh man.
And what an awesome comeback, in my opinion.
It was absolutely, you're right, it was absolutely incredible. I actually rate Rocky Balboa as probably the second best of the Rocky films. Even higher than the first film.
This one kind of, like, was really, I guess, honest to the character.
Very honest. It was the rise of the hero again. It was the rise of the underdog. It was almost like the first movie done all over again. But in
a different way.
In a different time, and he's much older and things have changed. His life is totally different. He's lost people and Sylvester Stallone pulled off the impossible with this movie. He completely reinvented the character. He brought it to a new generation of fans. I remember sitting in the theater and I was cheering, like, as was the rest of us, like during his fight at the end. You know, the fight wasn't even for anything. It was just for charity. It didn't matter. He's the underdog. He's the inspiration. And I love the movie.
Yeah.
I hope they end it with that one, but I loved it.
Yeah. It's kind of like a fitting ending.
It was a very fitting ending.
And, I thought it was a bit funny that, what's his name? Milo Venti, whatever. Bloody ridiculous last name. They both got the whole,
the guy from, The Soprano?
No, the guy that was in Heroes. That plays his son.
Wasn't he in?
I don't know, actually.
I thought he had a small role in Sopranos.
Maybe because I haven't really seen Sopranos that much. But they both have the whole, like, mouth thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they both have got that, and it's like, oh, well, of course you can play father and son.
Yep. Burt Young makes another...
He's still going as Paulie.
Yeah, and you know what? It's like he never stopped being Paulie.
He is Paulie.
And, it was a great story. I felt so much nostalgia. I was sitting, because I remember watching Rocky as a little kid. And I'm thinking, I feel like I'm watching the first movie. It was brilliant. And I can't believe Sly directed it, started it, and wrote it.
Yep, he sure did. And
not bad for a 60-plus-year-old man.
Not bad at all. But then he wanted to do it all again, bring back his other iconic character with Rambo. Called Rambo. He, again, wrote... directed, starred in it, and this one would probably be the most violent of the Rocky movies, the Rambo movies.
Without question.
It's very gory. It's very, very gory.
But just like Rocky Balboa, he brilliant, and I remember when they announced Rambo was coming, and I'm like, oh, there's no way this is going to work. You know, he's too old. I can't see how they could put create a story that's good enough. He blew me away again. He brought John Rambo back in the best way he possibly could, and I don't think anybody could have done it any better. And I honestly hope, though, that they don't make any more Rambos. I don't think they are, because Rambo ended off on a fantastic note for anybody who's seen it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it is balls to the wall, like, gore.
Yeah, it's just pretty full on. I mean, I did enjoy the movie. It was just, yeah, like, bringing back this character, and he's a different from what we've seen before.
Very.
And, yeah, there's just lots and lots and lots and lots of killing.
Yeah.
And Julie Benz.
Oh, Julie Benz.
I know a lot of people found her. I realized
how hot she was.
Well, a lot of people found her really annoying in this movie, but I don't think she was that bad.
I think I found her character annoying.
I thought she did all right with what she was given.
I think she did okay. It's not the fact. I mean, Julie was great. It was a great role, but it's just one of those characters where you're like, you know, there's one point where she's captured and she's underneath the, you know, general's shack in the middle of nowhere, right? And she looks up at him and she starts screaming, you know, "What do you want with us?" You know, I'm like, are you fucking serious? Mm-hmm. Are you really gonna start yelling and screaming at this guy?
Yeah.
The level of common sense was just out the window with her character, and to be honest with you, all of the characters other than Rambo. But I guess that's required for the, you know.
Yeah, that's it. Rambo was the last movie of Stallone's up until next month when we will get The Expendables.
Oh, man.
And I can't wait. I think the idea and what it looks like is an old school action movie with, you know, the whole action movie idea from the 80s.
Yeah. No, you know, very little CGI, all real stunts, you know, guns and knives,
yeah.
You know, hand to hand fighting and, you know, no shaky cam and yeah, absolutely. It looks like it's gone right back to the original formula, which I'm thrilled.
Yep. And the basic plot of The Expendables is a team of mercenaries head to South America on a mission to overthrow a dictator.
Yeah.
So it's going to be fun. Obviously, like, he asked a hell of a lot of people to be in this movie.
Oh, the list is endless.
But what we've got is pretty epic, so it should be a lot of fun.
It should be, and, I've already heard so many, like, apparently from screenings or whoever has seen bits of the movie but can't obviously release a review yet, they're saying that it's so good that they're begging Stallone for sequels.
Yeah. I mean, on my, like, really early podcast, we were joking about The Expendables 2 starring all the kind of rejects.
Yeah, all the ones who didn't cut it.
Yeah, be like the direct-to-DVD film.
Exactly.
Starring, I think we mentioned it would star Gary Busey for some reason.
I could totally see that. Gary Busey, Nick Nolte, and Nicolas Cage. And
well, Nicolas Cage isn't really on their level of...
Well, actually, he has proven himself quite well. With the last,
I think with like Kick-Ass makes up for everything.
Kick-Ass does make up for everything, and Bad Lieutenant definitely made up as well. I completely forgot that The Sorcerer's Apprentice came out last week.
Yeah,
tell you that.
I'll just say this: when The Expendables does come out, we'll definitely be podcasting about it.
Guaranteed.
Because it's going to be epic and awesome and all the rest. I wish
we could all get together to see it.
The only problem, I think, is that Australia probably gets it a couple of weeks later, so...
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm not 100% sure. It comes out 12th of August.
Oh, you get a day earlier than
that. Oh, we get it earlier. Huh. Well, we can
get it. We get it the next day.
Yeah.
I think we're okay there.
It comes out on the same day as another movie that stars someone you hate.
Oh, yeah, that movie.
Yeah, which we won't mention too much about because you go into massive rants about it, and it's, like, even more ranting than what Matches does, so...
Well, that's the whole thing. It It stars a guy that I can't stand, but he's surrounded by people that I absolutely love. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe we'll call him Michael Biera. Or let's not call him by his real name.
The more I know it's completely off topic. It has nothing to do with Stallone. It just the fact it comes out on the same day as one of his movies. The more I read and see about it, the less excited I get because I just can't buy him beating up anybody. And it doesn't even from the trailers. I haven't read the books or anything. I'm sure the books are awesome, but. It just seems like, from the trailers, she's not at all interested in him, and she seems even less interested in him when he's fighting her exes. And seriously, why would you go from some of those exes to him? I mean, when you've been out with Chris Evans, and, I mean, he's going to be Captain America, and when you've been out with Brandon Routh, who was Superman, why the hell would you go to Michael thingy?
Well, there was one point in the last trailer that, absolutely. I'm like, you have got to be fucking kidding me. They casted him. And it's the part where they're sitting on the bus and they're driving down the street and, you know, Cyrus being his typical, you know, George Michael self. And he's like, you know, does that mean we're dating? And he swings his head at her like this little retarded puppy dog. Like, are we dating now? He's fucking playing the same fucking kid. Every time, and she's like, yeah, I guess. Does that mean we can make out now? Sure.
Yeah, I'm half stupid.
I mean, it's like, she looks like she's having a painful time during the movie, even though she says, obviously, you know, it was wonderful working with Michael Cera, but I don't know. I can't buy most of it. If they had casted, like, Jesse Eisenberg in the part, I would have a much better time with it.
Yeah, but there's a whole, the thing I have with him, there's just a whole nother podcast, but we'll have to end it because we're just going to end up talking about something that's completely off topic, and I don't want to insult Sylvester, so.
I don't know. You know, Sly, do you think we should talk about it?
No.
Okay.
See, he's telling us to shut up. Yeah, well, that's a wrap. Hopefully I've made a little bit of sense. Thanks for joining me for a bit of an impromptu podcast.
Anytime.
Yeah, our next one will be next week where we're going to discuss Predators as well as Predator, the first film, and Predator 2. And we'll also be talking about Inception. Mostly the reasons for that is Inception isn't released in Australia as we're recording this, so we had to put that off for a week.
I have to keep my mouth shut about it.
Yeah, and because we were going to talk about Predators and the series with other podcast regular Bede, and because he lives in the middle of nowhere, he wasn't able to see Predators until tomorrow, the recording of this tomorrow. So we have to kind of wait to talk about it. So we'll have a massive just talking about it podcast, and yeah, that'll be next week. But for this week, we've done the Stallone podcast. And in the future, I will definitely be dedicating an entire podcast to Van Damme.
Van Damme.
I'm not sure about who's going to join me for that one, or maybe I'll have to do it by myself. I don't know. But
you're probably the biggest Van Damme fan I've ever met.
Yeah, I don't think anybody likes Van Damme as much as I do. I don't even know if Van Damme likes himself as much as I do.
Well, I can't even remember the last Van Damme movie that other than Jean-Claude Van Damme, JCBD.
Well, the one you're probably remembering the best is probably, I'm going to kick that son of a bitch Bison's ass.
Of course!
Who wants to go home? Or who wants to go with me?
Jesus. If I'm going to talk Van Damme, I'm going to, I'm probably going to go into more, Bloodsport and Hard Target, you know, that story.
Anyway.
Universal Soldier, of course.
Anyway, gone completely off topic again.
That's what we do. That's what
I know, we totally do. But I like to try and keep things, a little bit on topic, but Yeah, I've been trying to wrap this up for like 5 minutes, but yeah. That's the end of the show. Thanks for joining me.
Not a problem, and Sylvester Stallone is the man.
He is, and I'd like to thank him for chiming in, and Arnie has left because he, like, totally fell asleep. Yeah, so that's it. And also, Arnie is going to be in the Expendables. They are actually, they are actually very good friends, which people might not know about, but they are good buddies.
They did Planet Hollywood together.
Yeah, with we another person. Y'all know where person. That went. Yeah, with another person too.
Yeah.
Mm. Anyway.
BW.
Anyway. yes, that's a wrap for the podcast.
Thanks again, Mars.
Thank you, Nick. I'm Marcy, and I've lost it completely. And
I don't know why you're laughing, but that's okay.
Yeah, and Nick is Nick, and he's probably quite normal. 1,000
other people.
He's quite normal compared to me today. So, yeah, that's a wrap, and catch you later.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Catch you later.